برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا، برنامج لصحتك الجسدية والعقلية.
تابعونا للحصول على مشورة الخبراء بشأن الوقاية والعلاج وكيفية اتخاذ قرارات مدروسة عن صحتك.
كل يوم خميس الساعة 1 ظهرا، ويعاد يوم الأحد في الساعة 5 مساء. برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا.
Good afternoon, dear listener, and welcome to Health and Wellness Radio program on Radio Miraya. I'm your host, Magdalene Joseph, and we are coming to you live from Juba. So today we are talking about a health issue that many people hear about, but they always don't understand it clearly. And we are talking about hernia today. So it is something that affects men, women, and even children. And it often starts small before becoming uncomfortable or even dangerous. So many of our listeners have seen someone with a swelling in the stomach or the lower part of their stomach where the thigh meets the body. And they wondered, what exactly is that? And some people ask themselves whether they should be worried or not. So today, we're here to talk about this condition in a simple, practical, and also reassuring way. And as I mentioned earlier, that today we are joined by Dr. Mako Steven Bakasoro. Once again, he was with us the last 2 weeks, but we promised to bring him back again. Today he's here to talk to us about this important topic. Dr. Mako, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you very much, Magdalene. Thanks for having me once again. It's my pleasure.
Yes. لمستمعينا خلال برنامج بعدين, if you have any question or any comment about this topic of hernia, you can call us through our telephone lines to ask our doctor in the studio to help you with the question or the comment you have. Our numbers are 0912067879, another number 0912067929. We have another number 0912068101. You can also send us SMS on 0912177141.
كن بصحة جيدة وكن سعيدا. أنت تستمع إلى برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا.
All right, Doctor, to start our conversation, let's start by understanding this condition. When someone says that they have hernia, what exactly does hernia mean?
Well, a good afternoon once again to everyone that is listening. I'm Dr. Mako Steven Bakasoro. I'm a practicing general surgeon within a couple of facilities in Juba, including the main hospital, Juba Teaching Hospital, Len Medical Center, and Akana Medical Center as well. So it's a very important topic that we are having today, an issue or a disease that is called a hernia. This is something that is very common and has existed for as long as history can tell, starting from the Greek and the Egyptian civilization. It's something that has lasted for long within medical knowledge. It's very common, affecting both males and females and all age groups. But of course, we have age groups that are at higher risk of developing hernias. And I'm certain in most of the local languages, there is a simple word that people usually use to describe what a hernia is. In the local Arabic, I've heard people just call it hernia,
yes,
which is derived from the real English word.
Yeah.
So to define what a hernia is, it's just a protrusion of organs through a tissue that usually protects them. So let's say the abdominal wall has organs inside, the intestines, the omentum, the appendix, and bladder and things of that sort. So when these organs protrude through the abdominal wall that usually protects them, we call that a hernia. And if this happens in a different body part, let's say if it was in the chest, we have what we call diaphragmatic hernias, and we also have what we call brain herniation. The brain can also herniate. So anything that is protruding through the tissues that usually protect it is what we call a hernia.
So you mentioned already two types of hernia. Are those the common ones, or there are other types of hernia? And then what is that common type in South Sudan?
Well, the most common type of hernias that we deal with are abdominal wall hernias. Mm-hmm. These are hernias coming through the abdominal wall. And they are also divided into two. Ventral, which means the upper part of the abdomen, mm-hmm. and then inguinal, which is the lower part of your abdomen. So in between your legs, where the thighs are joining the trunk or mm-hmm. the upper part of the body, those are the most common, the inguinal hernias. And about 75% of abdominal wall hernias are inguinal hernias. Mm-hmm. So hernias within the groin region. Those are the most common types.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that anybody can be at risk of having a hernia. But people say that men always are the most people who have hernia. So maybe can you tell us about who really at higher risk of having hernia and why?
Okay, very good. So we shall go straight forward to the risk factors mm-hmm. of developing a hernia.
Yes.
And before I mention anything further, I will first have to agree with you that being a man mm-hmm. is a risk for you to develop hernias. Men anatomically, naturally are at a higher risk of developing an inguinal hernia. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind that is just based on nature. There is the testicles that usually descend from the abdominal cavity when you're still in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And as they travel to the scrotum, they leave an area of weakness. So other tissues that are in the abdominal cavity can also follow the same path, and that is what we call an inguinal hernia. So the first risk is being male.
By default, yeah.
By default, you're at a higher risk of developing a hernia.
Yes.
Then when it gets to the age group, before the age of 1 and after the age of 45 to 50, those age groups are at a higher risk of developing a hernia. For children, most of them are what we call congenital hernias, meaning naturally that defect that the testis leave behind mm-hmm. is still not yet closed, and there is a high risk of the intestines or the omentum or other organs within the abdominal cavity to follow the same exact path. Mm-hmm. So age groups be less than 1 and above 40, 45. Mm-hmm. Then the other risks are smoking. Now, those are environmental risk factors. Mm-hmm. Smoking weakens the tissues that cover everything inside, so it becomes weaker and, you know, the organs inside can protrude through the abdominal wall. And then on the other hand, too much coughing. There is something we call COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. These patients usually cough chronically. Mm-hmm. So that chronic cough increases the abdominal wall pressure, and it can cause a weakness in the abdominal wall. Mm-hmm. Then the structures inside will protrude. Then the other thing is straining. You go to the toilet, there is a lot of straining, maybe because of constipation. Mm-hmm. That is also another risk factor for someone to develop these type of conditions, the hernias. And then urinary conditions as well. We have people with prostatic disease, prostatic hypertrophy, and they have to force urine. Now, as you're forcing urine, the abdominal wall muscles are also stretching mm-hmm. and they become weaker, and this can predispose you to getting hernias. Then something I would want to clear out is strenuous activities, heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. By the pathophysiology or how hernias come about, we would expect that people that lift heavy objects may develop hernias. Mm-hmm. And it is a notion, that's something that is still confusing scientists, because studies have been done in heavy lifters and we found that not much heavy lifters get hernias. Mm-hmm. So it is still something that is not properly understood, but heavy lifting for those that are gym fanatics.
Yeah, this is what I want to ask.
Don't worry. Let this not be a reason or an excuse for you to not go to the gym.
Yeah.
Science has not proven it as yet that heavy lifting does contribute to hernias.
Now, people might, the nature of their job might require them to lift heavy thing. So what can they do? And they do it on daily basis or almost from morning up to evening. Let's talk about people who carry things, for example, in some markets, konyo-konyo, they have things they need to lift like cement almost the whole day. Are they also at risk or they should not worry like the gym people?
Yeah, those people shouldn't worry.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that is still not yet proven. Although we have it as more of a theory, it is not yet a fact. We have not yet proven that people that do heavy lifting are at higher risk of developing hernias because based on pathophysiology, you would expect that to happen. But when you make studies on people that are heavy lifting, you find that they are not getting hernias any more than other people that are having a normal lifestyle.
Okay. Now let's talk about the symptoms and also the dangers associated with the with this condition. We find some people that they can see something is swollen in their body, but they ignore it. So what are some of the early signs people should look for to know that they might, maybe they are developing hernia and they better go to hospital?
Well, so there isn't anything that you can use to know that you are going to develop a hernia.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you see something, it means it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing is that you will see something that is protruding abnormally. It may be around the umbilicus.
Mm-hmm.
If you have seen young children that are born with a big umbilicus, you can see the umbilicus is protruded. Well, we call that an umbilical hernia, okay? So that protrusion can alert you that I may be having a hernia. If you see anything within the groin, within the pelvic region, okay, that is a mass that comes out, and probably when you sit down or lie down, it will go back in. So in most cases, you find that the hernias protrude when you increase abdominal pressure. That is when you stand, when you cough, laugh, or probably when you're straining in the toilet, you'll find that the hernia will protrude out. And when you lie down, it will go back in. And for some other people, they can push it in by themselves and they'll feel that it goes back in. Now that shows, or it is a diagnosis that you have a hernia. They are not painful that much.
Yeah, this is what I want to ask with the pushing part.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are not that painful. They cause some discomfort. It feels irritating, but not painful. Now, I want our listeners to pay attention to the painful part. The moment you have this hernia that keeps coming out and going back in, and one day something happens in which it comes out and it doesn't go back in, then at that time you're going to start having pain. Okay? And we call that an incarcerated hernia. It is arrested. You know, incarceration from the word arresting someone. So when the hernia comes out and it doesn't go back in, we call it an incarcerated hernia. Now that becomes a complicated hernia, of which the management will differ. So the first thing is the one that keeps coming in, going back. We call that the reducible hernia. It is not an emergency, although it has to be managed surgically, like we shall explain in the subsequent few minutes. Yeah.
And what happens if this hernia is not treated early enough?
Well, so when these hernias keep coming out, going back in, it's usually not so much of a problem. It causes discomfort. And we can manage those in a surgical manner on an elective basis, meaning it's not an emergency. We shall prepare you for surgery at the time that you are that is convenient with you. You come in and we do a surgical procedure to repair that defect. Now, something that everybody should know is that hernias are surgical diseases. They cannot be managed using any type of medication. So this is more like, let's say if you have a net at home and that net has torn, and probably mosquitoes can pass through it and access you on your bed. Mm-hmm. There is no type of Vaseline that you will smear on that net that will bring it back.
Yes.
You have to sew it mechanically. So it is the same thing with hernias. When there is a hernia, it is a surgical disease that has to be repaired surgically.
Yeah. Le mustamaim bitana itulendometulena hasa, or you open your radio now, you are listening to Health and Wellness Radio Program or Radio Mirayam. And with me here in the studio is Dr. Mako Steven Bakasoro. And today we are talking about hernia. If you have any question to our doctor in the studio or any comment about this topic, you can always call us through our studio lines, which are 091-206-7879, another number 091-206-7929, the third number is 091-206-8101. You can call us and then our doctor in the studio can answer your question or can also discuss with you the comment you have. You can also send us SMS through our SMS line, which is 091-2177-141. Doctor, we have one question here from one of our listeners. His name is Anne William from Warab State, Tonch. He said, I'm asking that what are the preventive measures for the disease and the signs? I think you spoke already about the signs, but for the preventive measures, we shall talk about it later. Let's pick our first caller. Hello, good afternoon, Radio Miraya.
Yes, salam alaikum.
Ahlan wa sahlan.
Ya, ma'akum Benjamin Dar, Mudunubir.
Yes, Benjamin.
Ahlan salam alaikum al-Filistinu kullu.
Yes, marhabek, Benjamin.
Yeah. So, tamana wa dhanar,
No. They can best example, Dr. Gade. Stakhdimu lakin hina gaini tkallamu an hania.
Aywa hania, no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Stephen ogod garib min Benjamin ogod garib min radio bitaku ita mungkin tasma akter badet lo hendak su'al mungkin tatasil lena mara tani. Hello, good afternoon, Radio Miraya.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome.
Yeah, talking to James.
Yes, James.
Yeah, the program is really so nice. I'm so pleased about the doctor explanation. But the question is, I have a lot of cases like that in my village. So, I asked other doctors in the clinics and the hospitals. They told me that eating food immediately after go and walk.
James?
Yes,
you come again because your line is not clear. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Gudele.
Gudele. Yes, you come again with your question to doctor.
So, other doctors also telling me to encourage our people not to eat heavy food and go and work in day. Because that one is also a cause of hernia. Is that one true?
Like they eat heavy food and they go to
heavy
sleep?
Heavy food like poso, yeah. They eat poso, then they go and walk.
Okay.
Basically, heavy work.
Okay.
Or lifting heavy things. Is that also a cause?
Okay.
And how can someone advise people outside not to do that or not to be affected with hernia?
Okay. Yeah, okay, James. Shukran, Doctor. Hi, Joy. Bless you. I'll be back. Doctor, maybe you can answer these two questions and then we continue with the discussion.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the callers, Anne from Warap and James from Gudele. And I'm going to combine their questions and answer them at once. Mm-hmm. Anne was asking for the preventive measures.
Mm-hmm.
And James and has... Yes, James has a related question of still the prevention. So when it comes to the to eating heavy food, James, the most important thing is that you shouldn't constipate yourself, meaning you should not allow yourself to have constipation. Constipation, you would have to strain a lot while you are in the toilet, and that will increase the risk of you getting a hernia. So yes, you have your meal the way you want to, but you have to take a lot of water with it. Mm-hmm. And it is very important to also include vegetables in all your meals because they loosen the stool so that you don't have to strain a lot while you're in the toilet. So that is something that is very important when it comes to the consumption of food. Then for the heavy lifting, like I said earlier on, this is something that is being looked at and being studied, but there isn't scientific evidence and proof that says heavy lifting is a risk factor for development of hernias. And then for prevention, generally from the question by Anne. So number one, smoking is another risk factor for development of hernias. It weakens the tissues protecting the organs. Mm-hmm. So stop smoking. That is number one. Two, use laxatives if you're having constipation. You should not allow yourself to have constipation for long. And then if you have any cough, do not allow yourself to have cough that is chronic. If you have cough, visit a medical center and have that cough treated so that you don't have to always increase this abdominal pressure, mm-hmm. which will predispose you to developing a hernia. Then obesity. Patients or people that are overweight have to reduce weight. There is a lot of techniques to reduce your weight. You can do exercises, you can cut down on meals, cut down on fat content and take more of vegetables. Mm. This can help you lose weight. So obesity, which is another risk factor for the development of hernias, should be controlled. So in those simple ways, we can prevent ourselves from being at risk of developing hernias. Now, being a male, which is a risk factor, there isn't any way we can tell you to not be a man. That we can't touch.
Yes. مستمعين بتاعنا ده زمان انت ممكن تتصل فوقه لدكتور بتاعنا in the studio so that if you have any question, he can answer them. And our numbers are 0912067879. Another number, 0912067929. And there's also a third line, which is 0912068101. You can also send us SMS through our SMS line, which is 0912177141. Hello, Radio Miraya. We lost the caller. Please, you call. And then, Dr. Endena, messages here from our listeners. We have Deng Dario from Luri Maram side. He said, I just want to ask whether it is naturally acquired or not. And thank you for the topic. Another question, this listener said, thank you, Radio Miraya. Call me Alphonse in Torit. I'm greeting the doctor in the studio and the presenter. So please, doctor, what is the cause of prostate gland? And how can you deal with it? And then we have another question here from one of our listeners who said, good afternoon, doctor. This is Anna Mpiosi. She's asking if you can explain some things in Arabic. We have another question here from Bona Thiek Akot. He's sending this message from Kojok. He said, first, I appreciate this important topic. My question number one, as doctor, he said that the pressure on the testicles may cause hernia. So is there any problem about sex as there is pressure or force? Like the sex and the pressure of the process, does it cause hernia? And then he's asking now, is it fatal or not? This is the questions we have.
Okay. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for appreciating the show. I'll start with Deng calling from Luri, asking whether the hernias are acquired or natural. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice question. So we have what we call congenital hernias and acquired hernias. So most of the hernias in young children are congenital. These are defects that are existent during the natural process of development.
Mm-hmm.
So for young children, most of them develop congenital or natural, if you want to call it that, hernias. Then for the adults, they come from the lifestyle that you have been living. So for most of the adults, what they develop is called acquired hernias. Okay, mm-hmm. So I think I've answered the question from Deng. Then somebody asked about what causes prostatitis, or his cause. I think he meant enlarged prostate, which mm-hmm. is what we call benign prostatic hypertrophy. That is a more complex discussion that is to do with hormonal changes within the body. So we shall not go into that because it will protract our discussion mm-hmm. that much. But all we should know is that for patients that are having benign prostatic hypertrophy, which is enlargement of the prostate,
mm-hmm.
it obstructs the flow of urine, making them have to push harder. Now, as they push harder, the pressure in the abdominal cavity increases and they get hernias in return.
Okay.
Okay, that's all where I can end. The issue to do with sex.
Yeah.
While you're having sex, there is no problem. You will not, sex is not a risk factor for developing hernias. But if you already have an existing hernia that has not been managed surgically, then there is a possibility there is going to be some discomfort, some not feeling well during the sexual intercourse, because it is going to come out at that time. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're either standing or pushing anyhow, it may come out during sex.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be discomforting to the partners, but it isn't a risk factor for mm-hmm. the development of a hernia. Sex isn't.
Okay. And now we have another question here before we go and talk about the treatment of hernia. This message is coming from Gling from Unity State IDP Scam. He said, if you have hernia, what type of food should you eat on a daily basis?
Well, eat anything. I'm forgetting the name, Anay.
No, this is Gling.
Yeah, Gling. You can eat anything if you have a hernia. There isn't any restriction of
mm-hmm.
food.
Mm-hmm.
Most important thing, like I said earlier on, we don't want you to be constipated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is all. Avoid constipation, but eat anything that you can.
Okay. Hello, good afternoon, Radio Miraya.
Good afternoon, my name is...
Yes, good afternoon, welcome.
Yeah, Maria from WOW.
Yes, Marial from WOW.
Yeah, I have one question to the doctor.
Yes, go ahead. He's listening.
Yeah. Sometimes there are people who cannot go to latrin for a long time. Maybe someone may spend 2 days without going to the latrin for some reason that I don't know. Is that one is also risky? And how many times in a day someone to stool?
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Hello, good afternoon, Radio Miraya.
Yes, Radio Miraya.
Yes, good afternoon, welcome.
Yeah, you are connected with the Zanga from Yambio.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to know something from our doctor in the studio.
Yes, go ahead.
Can he make us understand so that we know how to prevent ourselves from this hernia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
hello.
That is my question.
What do you want to understand exactly?
Yeah, I'm saying that
prevention.
I need to understand how can we prevent ourselves
okay.
from getting hernia.
Okay, thank you. Hello, good afternoon, Radio Miraya.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Ageu Mabok, Ageu from WOW.
Yes, Ageu, welcome.
My question to us in the studio,
mm-hmm.
goes like this. You know, how can people in the village, those who are at the grassroots level, get to know that someone is suffering from hernia. Because they don't have knowledge about that disease. There has never been an awareness which has been carried out for someone to know, to have knowledge of the disease. So how can we help people who are at the grassroots level? How can we also make them understand that these are the symptoms of hernia because of 1, 2, 3, 4, so that they get to know the symptoms and the risk factors and many other things regarding regarding hernia.
Oh, okay.
How can we educate people at the grassroots level to have knowledge about the kind of disease? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Agil. And Doctor, on top of that, we have one question from our listener here, Deng. He said, is it transmitted from mother to child during pregnancy and birth? Maybe we go with these questions and then we continue with our discussions.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we shall start with Mariel from WOW, mm-hmm. that is asking how to help people that take long without visiting the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is constipation per se.
Mm-hmm.
So Mariel, there are good eating habits and habits to help with digestion. So in most cases, we encourage everyone to eat more of vegetables and less of animal content. These vegetables are easily digested. And upon that, you have to increase on the amount of water that you take. So this will help with softening of the stool so that somebody can be able to visit the toilet regularly and in a smooth way. And if it comes to the point where visiting the toilet is very difficult, meaning there is too much straining or probably even pain during defecation, then we can use medical management. Laxatives that will soften the stool so that you pass the stool without a lot of pressure. So this will help you protect yourself from developing hernias. Zanga from Yambio is asking the preventive measures. We already mentioned a few, but I will still give him some more answering on that.
Mm-hmm.
We should avoid constipation. That is number one. I have already explained that. And then anyone that is having cough should have it treated to protect yourself from having chronic cough that may put you at risk of developing a hernia. And then smoking should be stopped. It weakens the abdominal wall. So Zanga, you can do the few things that I've said. And then we had a question from Agel that was asking, how do patients get to know they have inguinal hernias, how to protect themselves or prevent themselves from developing a hernia?
Mm-hmm.
I think we shall be having a repeat of this same talk show on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So Agel, we have mentioned a lot of presentations of how hernias present. If you see anything that is protruding on your abdomen, a mass that is coming out and going back in, that is a hernia and you should have that checked out. And like I said, this is a surgical disease. Mm-hmm. It is only managed using surgery.
Yes, and then in Juba, who asked about whether this condition can be transmitted from mother to child during pregnancy or birth.
Yes, Deng, this is not a transmissible
mm-hmm.
condition. It is a defect, a malformation, let's say, during birth. Sometimes the path where the testicles move from the abdominal cavity going down to rest in the in the scrotum, okay, when the child is still in the mother's womb, that same path leaves a small weakness behind or small defect that other organs may follow and come out. So that is how hernias come, especially inguinal hernias. So it is not something that a mother passes to the child. It is a normal defect in nature. let's say.
Okay. Doctor, now let's go and talk about treatment. You already mentioned that the only treatment for this condition is surgery. And we see that many people sometimes fear surgery. And if it is found in children who are less than 1 year, the parents might be like, this child is so small or too young to go through surgery. What should people expect from this process of the operation?
So I will start with comforting our mothers. Mm-hmm. If you're a mother and you see that there is anything that is protruding probably into the testicles of the young child, or probably the child is having an umbilical hernia, the umbilicus looks bigger, you should not blame yourself. There isn't anything that you have done wrong. It is not something that you could have predicted. This is just part of nature. And go to the health center, and we shall advise you on when is the appropriate time for us to undergo the surgical procedures. For instance, we do not operate on children that are younger than 5 years if they have an umbilical hernia. Okay, for the umbilical hernias, for as long as you're still younger than five, we don't touch them. Inguinal hernias, we can operate at any time, but we have to prepare because it's a little bit difficult handling children, especially with anesthesia, that there is professionals that are going to handle that. Then for the general public, the older patients, if you have a hernia, have it surgically managed before it complicates. So if it reduces, if it comes out, goes back in, comes back out, goes in, that is the right time for you to have the hernia repaired before it complicates. In that case, it is an elective procedure that we can do when it is convenient for you. Now, if you have a hernia that comes out and does not go back like it usually does, or it becomes incarcerated, meaning it doesn't move, please run to the hospital as soon as you can. That becomes an emergency. We shall not allow you to go back home before that hernia has been dealt with, because it is going to lose blood supply. So whatever is passing through the defect, it may be your intestine, it may be fat tissue, the blood supply will be cut, and this can lead to death or rotting of the intestine. So that becomes an emergency, and you have to rush to the hospital and have it treated urgently.
Now let's talk about some people use belts, that these belts are meant for hernia. Some use herbals, that traditional medicines are also good for hernia. What can you tell them? Do they help much?
We've seen people that use either a belt or they tie something around the stomach, trying to protect the hernia from coming out. Now, if you already have the diagnosis of a hernia, there is something that is protruding. The belt is just holding it in. It is not treating it. That's not treatment. You're just holding it in. It has to be managed surgically. You have to treat it. And then I remember giving an example of which, if something is torn, if you do not repair it, there is no other way in which it will come and close by itself. So people that are having hernias, especially acquired hernias, will only be managed using surgery. So if you smear any herbal medication, you try and take some type of tablets, they are not going to help you. It will still have to be treated surgically. And our worry is that as you're doing this and probably taking long, one day it may incarcerate. It will come out and not go back in. The blood supply to the content that are inside will be cut off, and it may become dead, of which probably if it is the intestines that have are in the hernia sac and they are dead, now we have to resect the intestine. We have to cut your intestine and sew it back. It becomes a more complicated procedure than if you came early and only the defect, only the opening was closed. So you come in an elective setting, we open and only close where that defect is, and you go back home safe. Within a day, 2 days, some of them are done. We do some hernia repairs as office procedures, meaning you come in, we operate, and you go back home.
You don't sleep in the hospital.
You don't sleep in the hospital, especially for the epigastric hernias on the abdominal wall, umbilical hernias, peri-umbilical hernias, anything on the abdominal wall, we can repair it and you'll go back home the same day. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the inguinal region, we shall repair it and you may sleep for 1 day or two. So I advise that anyone that has this protrusion, any mass that is coming off the abdominal cavity of the abdominal wall, should come to the hospital.
All right. But doctor, now, if someone, for example, experienced this hernia condition, does it come back again?
Yep. That is a very important question. Mm. So we have what we call recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a hernia can be repaired surgically, and probably you're still a living human being. You're still going to the toilet. You're still coughing. Some of these hernias may recur after surgery, but it usually wouldn't happen if the procedure was properly done, clinically done, and the recurrence rate is very low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the recurrence rate is very low. Then this brings me to another important type of hernias that we call incisional hernias. Anyone that has had a surgical procedure done previously has a risk of developing an incisional hernias.
Mm.
Mothers that have given birth by cesarean section. So the part that was opened is not as strong as the one that God created.
Mm.
Okay? So through that, the hernia can develop through that as well, and we call that an incisional hernia. And when that happens, we have to surgically manage it once again, probably putting on a mesh to strengthen your abdominal wall.
Right. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us for the last, 50 minutes. But before we wrap up this episode, what advice would you give to someone who has noticed something that is maybe swelling under their abdominal and they keep on postponing to go to the hospital and get medical support?
Yeah, I know there is a lot of constraints that cause some of our patients to not report to the health facilities as soon as they can. Probably it may be you're thinking this is something that will go away by its own. Mm-hmm. Probably it is something that will disappear. That is probably lack of knowledge. Or sometimes you're still preparing the money. You think it's going to be a very costly procedure. So I know there is constraints that prevent people from coming early. But I would advise that anyone that sees a protrusion on their body has to have it evaluated in the health center. Mm-hmm. And we can tell you what it is and what we expect. So we shall have a more, you know, proper discussion with you when you come to the health center.
And then, doctor, we have many callers. We have Gaulino from Awil. We have James Chol from Upper Nile. And we have Ladu John in Juba. All of them are asking, if someone wants to meet you, where are you located or where do you work?
Yeah, a couple of medical centers. So anyone that needs help with a hernia, you can meet me at Len Medical Center. That is just behind UAP building. You can also meet me at Juba Teaching Hospital. You just ask for the Department of Surgery. You can also meet me at Akana Medical Center. That is along Bill Farm Road, just a few meters from Equity Bank. Mm-hmm. If everybody knows the Equity Bank in Munuki Branch, along Bill Farm Road, that is where Akana Medical Center is located. And for any assistance, you can also find me on my contacts, 0926-510-882. That's a personal number. For anyone that needs any help, you can write it down once again. It's 0926510882. Call that number and you will get the assistance that you may need.
Yes, Dr. Marco Stephen Bakasoro, thank you so much for your time and also for the information you have given us today on this topic of hernia.
Thank you very much, Magdalene. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate the audience. I think there is a lot of interest in
questions,
medical knowledge, so thanks to our listeners. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, and to our listeners, if you notice or you have noticed a small swelling or any discomfort that comes and goes, please do not ignore it. Go to any nearby health facility or maybe the government hospital that you have in your area. I've been your host, Magdalene Joseph, on this Health and Wellness. And please, if you missed this episode or you did not listen to us from the beginning, this episode of Health and Wellness will be repeated on Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. I've been your host, Magdalene Joseph, together with Dr. Marco. We say thank you. Up to here, we say bye-bye.
كن بصحة جيدة وكن سعيدا. أنت تستمع إلى برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا.
برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا، برنامج لصحتك الجسدية والعقلية.
تابعونا للحصول على مشورة الخبراء بشأن الوقاية والعلاج وكيفية اتخاذ قرارات مدروسة عن صحتك.
كل يوم خميس الساعة 1 ظهرا ويعاد يوم الأحد في الساعة 5 مساء. برنامج صحة وعافية على راديو ميرايا.